Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, my guys? What's up, guys? Welcome back. This is a Place for Humans podcast, and it's Christmas. It's Christmas, guys. What's Christmas about? What is Christmas about? What's it about? Jesus? This is when Jesus rose from the dead. Is it about the winter solstice? Some people say it's actually a pagan holiday. Have you heard that before? Christmas. Let's Google that. It's about to be 2020. Oh, man. I remember when I was in high school thinking about 2020 and being like, fuck, man. It's going to be 2020 one day. Can you imagine? I remember being like, one day we're going to fast forward and, flash to 2020 and be like, oh, shit, it's 2020. Remember when I said in high school it's going to be crazy? I remember saying that. And now here it is. Pagan Christmas. Is Christmas a pagan tradition? Much of the world has been taught that the holiday of Christmas marks the birth of the Christian Savior, Jesus Christ. But that's simply wrong. The two most notable pagan winter holidays are the Germanic Yule and the Roman Saturnalia. Christian missionaries gave these holidays a makeover, and they are now known as Christmas. That's interesting. You find the same kind of stuff happens in Mexico, where there's this blend of shamanic traditions and modern Christian traditions mixed together. And it's just because of missionaries coming over and being like, no, you don't have it. You're right, but you're calling it the wrong name, and it's actually Jesus, or it's actually Mother Mary, or, you know, it's like your symbols are right, but. And to convert people to Christianity, over the years they've taken holidays and traditions of other religions and sort of consumed them. And they always say, the winners write history. In a couple hundred years, I don't know. I don't know what history will say in a couple hundred years. What Native American traditions are still alive? And that was only, how long ago was the Native American? The Trail of Tears and stuff like that. That was only, 200 years ago? What's 200 years ago? That's 2.5 people ago. Ah, Christmas. Sorry, got a little heated there for a second thinking about Native Americans. This is Christmas. I don't want to think about Native Americans dying and the potential cemetery that my house is built on right now. That's probably what all that noise is. Jesus. Ah, yeah, Jesus, Jesus. 'Tis the season for Jesus. Speaking of Jesus, before we get into the podcast, Baba Ram Dass died. Baba Ram Dass died. I knew this day would come. I could cry thinking about it, but I knew this day would come, and I've been mentally preparing myself for this day for a few years when Ram Dass would die. And for those of you guys that don't know who Ram Dass is, Ram Dass was this sort of, to me, is a revolutionary. He's a revolutionary. A very important, significant figure in culture. And not just some kind of sort of subculture of, hippies or whatever, but he was an actual important figure in American culture and in the world culture in general and in spiritual culture. Baba Ram Dass. Yeah, so Ram Dass was born in the United States. He was became a Harvard professor at the age of 35 or something like that, really young. So he was, he's a smart guy, raised in a kind of uptight, traditional family, a conservative family. And in Harvard, he met Timothy Leary. Some of you guys might know who Timothy Leary is, who also is dead now. And Timothy Leary, you know what they did with his ashes? They shot him into space, his ashes. Another badass and another revolutionary. So pranam to both of them, Timothy Leary and Ram Dass. Oh, Ram Dass. So, yeah, Ram Dass and Timothy Leary met and sort of became this psychedelic duo. And, they took mushrooms. They figured out, they found out about these mushrooms, and they had these crazy experiences. And Timothy Leary was a psychologist. So they were interested in the psychedelic effects. And they were having all kinds of crazy spiritual experiences and stuff like that. And they started this, the Harvard Psilocybin Society or something like that, or the Harvard Psilocybin Studies or something. But they started their own little thing to study psilocybin, and I believe even study LSD eventually. And Ram Dass gave a student LSD. He gave a student LSD. And, you're obviously not allowed to give students LSD. You're obviously not allowed to give. Why did he do it? You know why he did it? Because he thought he was cute. He thought the student was cute. Ram Dass was an open sort of bisexual. So, like, I don't know why he's not taken as a sort of leader in that realm, because Ram Dass is like, it's Ram Dass, you know, and he's openly gay, and I don't know. I always wondered that, why he wasn't into that. But Ram Dass and Timothy Leary, man. So they get fired. Ram Dass gets fired. Timothy Leary quits. And all the papers start talking about it. Like, Harvard professors fired for drugs, basically. New York Times. All these huge newspapers are posting about it. So all of a sudden, this psychedelic awareness is being beamed into America for the first time, basically. And this is probably around the same time. I'm not for sure. You have to check this for sure. But this is probably around the same time that Gordon Wasson was, I guess, kind of exploiting Maria Sabina, some people would say. But, you know, when Gordon Wasson was in Mexico and discovering the mushroom, I imagine that's probably how these guys, Timothy Leary and Ram Dass, found out about the mushroom, was through Gordon Wasson's work. That's kind of how we all found out, because of the Mazatec traditions. Maria Sabina, another great saint who gave the world the knowledge of the sacred psychedelic mushroom. But so these guys get fired. It's all over the news. And Timothy Leary basically starts campaigning for people to turn on and tune in and to drop out. I think that's what his little saying was. Turn on, tune in, drop out. Which means like, turn yourself on. Wake up. Wake up. Don't be this kind of... Don't be a sheep. Don't just follow the herd and do what you're told. Wake up. Question authority. That was a big thing that he was about questioning authority. Proper revolutionary, Timothy Leary was. And, tune in. Tune into nature. Tune into beautiful things. Natural things, the mystical things. Be the mystery that you are, because you are the mystery. This whole reality that we are in is a mystery. So turn on, tune in, and drop out. Drop out of society, I think is what he was trying to say by that. It was like, just drop out. He was telling kids to drop out of school and to take psychedelics, basically. So this was a huge force in the subculture or in the counterculture of the hippie counterculture movement of the 60s. Ram Dass and Timothy Leary were like pioneers of this, and like, you know, guiding lights in this movement, which changed the world. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in that era, political stuff and It was just sort of times called for it, and it's sort of a reemergence happening now, which is kind of cool to be in the midst of another revolution. Some crazy stuff's gonna happen in our lifetime. I mean, crazy stuff's already happened in our lifetime for those of you that are older than 25 or even older than 20, you know? I mean, it's crazy. It's just crazy. It's like Terrence McKenna's theory of novelty, that it just gets kind of crazier, exponentially crazier. So, Ram Dass and Timothy Leary. Ram Dass goes to India and meets a guy named Neem Karoli Baba. Well, he goes to India to try to find out these mystical experiences that he was having from acid and from mushrooms. He was having these crazy spiritual experiences. And he's like, how? How is this possible? How am I having these crazy experiences? And then, you know, he started reading the Upanishads and the Tibetan Book of the Dead. And he was like, these guys are writing about the experience that we're experiencing. And they thought that they were sort of pioneers in this new dimension. But little did they know that the Hindus have been entering these astral worlds for 5,000 years and been writing about it. They've been writing about it for 5,000 years. So who knows how long that they've actually been experiencing it. I mean, shamanic cultures are no stranger to altered states, and shamanic religions are the oldest religions. Our worship of the earth and worship of these plants that give us visions, divine spiritual visions of euphoria and understanding of unity and oneness and love and compassion, and give us these overwhelming feelings of sort of just nice things, you know, and sometimes bad things, and sometimes sort of a rite of passage occurs and you come out feeling like, you know, you've been through some stuff. And so Ram Dass, Ram Dass goes to India seeking somebody to help him understand these experiences he's having, because India is pretty much the standard of self-realization. We all look to India as being like, you know, namaste, and it's where yoga comes from. It's where the Buddha, you know, Buddha would have been raised in a Vedic culture, and it's where meditation comes from. That's where it's the standard of what we look to as being spiritual things, you know, it's Shanti. So Ram Dass goes there to find these guys, and he hangs out. He finds all kinds of people and stuff like that, and he meets this this younger guy. He's about, I think he's like 18 years old. This 18-year-old Westerner that's just traveling India in the 60s, like before anybody. There's no hippie. This is like, you know, the birth of the egg of the hippie movement, you know. And he meets Bhagwan Dass, who's just this crazy guy who's just traveling India, and basically a sadhu. Before any of these hippies were dressing up as sadhus, or before Ram Dass was, his name was Richard Elpert at this point. He wasn't even Ram Dass yet. So, yeah, Bhagwan Dass he's a big part in this whole thing, and he doesn't really get credit for it. But Ram Dass is deciding what to do. He comes to a point where he's like, you know, you meet some cool gurus, you meet some interesting people, you meet some strange yogis, and you find yourself in some unusual experiences when you're in India. It's inevitable. Anyone that really goes to India for the real raw experiences, you'll find it. You'll find some things that, I mean, if your idea is to confront yourself with something weird that you don't usually confront yourself with, then India is a place where there's an abundance of that. So, yeah, Ram Dass is just like, I guess he's really not just finding his answers. He's in India trying to figure out what the heck the psychedelic religious experience is, not finding any answers. He meets this crazy Westerner that's dragging him around India, and Ram Dass would just be like, just trying to talk to him. So like, how long do you think we'll be doing this? Cause they're just walking around aimlessly. And Bhagwan Dass would just tell Ram Dass, like, be here now. That's where Ram Dass's book came from. Be here now. It came from Bhagwan Dass, because every time Ram Dass would say anything, he'd be like, "Ah, you know, what did you do? Where'd you grow up?" And he'd say, like, Bhagwan Dass would be like, "Be here now." He wouldn't talk about his past. He wouldn't talk about the future. He was always just present. And yeah, that was just a trip for Ram Dass. You know, that would be a trip for anybody to do that, to be with someone that's doing that kind of stuff. So Ram Dass comes to a point where he's like, all right, I got to figure out what I'm going to do because, I mean, I'm just following this Westerner around that's dressed like a sadhu telling me to be here now all the time. Alan Watts is in Tibet, so that's an option. I can either hang out here in India or go hang out with Alan Watts in Tibet. Could you imagine if Ram Dass went to Tibet to hang out with Alan Watts instead of making the choice in which he made, staying in India and meeting eventually Neem Karoli Baba, his guru, when he becomes Ram Dass from Richard Alpert and evolves into Ram Dass. But man, I always daydream about what would have happened if he would have been with Alan Watts in Tibet. What would have happened? Man, some alternate universe that's happening right now. Or that happened. That's crazy. But anyway, so he decides not to go to Tibet. He stays in India. And he eventually meets Neem Karoli Baba, Maharaji. Some of you guys might know him as Maharaji. And Jai Maharaji, Jai Neem Karoli Baba. Oh, Ram Dass, I'm so sad, man. So sad, breaks my heart. So Ram Dass meets Neem Karoli Baba. And Neem Karoli Baba blows his mind. So there's, I think like the first story, and I could be wrong about this, but I think the first story is they pull up in this Range Rover or something, which is an expensive car to have in India, or some kind of, you know, they pull up in an expensive car, and Bhagwan Dass, the guy he's traveling with, he starts like crying and falls to his knees to this and touching the feet of Neem Karoli Baba Maharaji, and Ram Dass is like, oh god, like, I'm not touching anyone's feet, my feet hurt, I've been walking around India and I just want to relax, and now I'm here and there's this guru and everyone's weeping and crying and And Maharaji goes to Ram Dass and he's like, he's just like, you have money? And Ram Dass is like, yeah, I made a little bit of money. Like, he's like, you have made good money in America? He's like, yeah, I made some good money in America before. And he's like, you'll give it to me? And Ram Dass just in his head is like, man, I've been here for 5 minutes and this old guy's already trying to like take my money from me. And, He's just putting him on. He's just under this, because he's a sadhu. Neem Karoli Baba is completely a sadhu. He owns nothing. He's basically naked for the whole, for forever. He's always naked, just kind of wrapped in a blanket. And that's all he owns, is just a blanket. And hear that? Santa Claus on my roof right there. That's just rain. Them reindeer. Them reindeer are indigenous to these parts, boy. So, Ram Dass goes out to the lake. I think they're in Nainital. I've been there. I've been to this ashram where Ram Dass met Neem Karoli Baba. I went and did this follow the footsteps of Ram Dass kind of thing by myself when I was in India. Well, not by myself. I was with Krishna Dass and Raghu Marcus and Bhagwan Dass Jr., my friend Bhagwan Dass. You know, a great group of people, you know, and some of my first India vlogs. My first India vlogs, you can see me at Kenshi Dham. This is the ashram of Neem Karoli Baba in Nainital. So I think Ram Dass goes out to Nainital Lake and he's just staring at the stars and he's just like thinking about his mom that just died, thinking about what the fuck he's doing with his life. And I think he decides to leave India and he goes back, and Neem Karoli Baba, I guess he can kind of see that Ram Dass is distraught. And he singles it out. He singles Ram Dass out. And he says, you were out of the lake last night? And Ram Dass was like, what, is he watching me now? Like, come on, man. Yeah, I was out at the lake last night having a, you know, just a moment to myself. And he goes, you were staring at the stars. He's like, yeah. It was a beautiful night last night. And Maharaji says to Ram Dass, he goes, and you were thinking about your mother. And he's just like, fuck, what the fuck? He goes through all these different motions in his head of like who are, like, what? Is this like the CIA because of all his Harvard stuff? He's like, are they watching me? Timothy Leary has been put in jail and stuff. Ram Dass is in India. And he's just like, man, like, are they trying to put me on the cops? Are they like messing with me? Like, what? How is this possible? They know my mom died. This guy is just like an old man in India. He doesn't know my mom died. I never talked to him about Bhagwan Dass because he always told me to be here now. He wouldn't have talked to me about it even if I brought it up. So like, He's just, his mind is scrambled eggs, and he's just trying to grasp for any kind of rationality of it. And Maharaji goes, she died of her spleen. And he said in that moment, being a Harvard psychologist and being a very rational materialist, he said it made no sense for him. It made no sense to him at all. How is this possible? And it wasn't possible. And from there on, he started weeping and touching the feet of Neem Karoli Baba when he would see him. And that's when he started becoming Ram Dass. That's when he started becoming who he is. And Neem Karoli Baba showed him who he was, Ram Dass. And Ram Dass, what that means is Ram is a god in Hinduism, Ram. And Das means servant of Ram. That's what Ram Dass, so like servant of God. And Ram Dass learned a lot about yoga and learned a lot about meditation, and he brought all that home back to America and the United States. And he started teaching. And I owe so much of who I am to Ram Dass. And so much of anyone that's inspired by all this kind of spiritual stuff or the psychedelic stuff or the hippie stuff, we owe so much to Ram Dass. I mean, there's no words that I can even grab a hold of to explain the true depth and true I just want to bow, you know. It's just there's not even words for this feeling that I feel when I think about Ram Dass. It's beautiful, man. He's a beautiful person, and that's a rare person. There's not any people like Ram Dass. There's no one like Ram Dass. No one like Timothy Leary. They need to make a movie out of that. Think about that. Two Harvard professors get fired for taking acid. They create a huge wave, a huge kaleidoscopic wave of rainbow children that just drop out of school and take acid and are having spiritual experiences, and they create tie-dye and that sonic boom that these guys created, like, man, we are the echo of that. My channel is the echo of that. If anyone's inspired by me, I mean, then you are an echo of that. If anyone's inspired by, you know, beautiful, man, beautiful. Ah, Ram Dass, man. I wanted to go to this retreat. They just did a Ram Dass retreat this month, a couple weeks ago. And I didn't go to the retreat just because I just didn't go. But, I wanted to watch this video of me meeting Ram Dass because, you know, I've spent some time with Ram Dass. I've done some work with the foundation, the Love Server Member Foundation. And if any of you would like to go over there and support something, buy something from their shop, or donate some money, or just check it out, learn about more about Ram Dass and the Neem Karoli Baba story. It's a phenomenal story, man. It's such a great story. Buy the book Be Here Now, or just go on YouTube and watch these Ram Dass lectures. It's a rabbit hole worth going down, I'm telling you. So Dakota went Ram Dass. And I met Ram Dass on Skype a few years ago. And I was really good friends with Lucian, my friend Lucian. Some of you guys might know Lucian from back in my old vlogs. Lucian was actually taking care of Ram Dass. That was Ram Dass's caretaker, and I was traveling India with Lucian. Oh yeah, and I don't have any headphones, so I'm sorry. God, I lost my headphones. I've been looking all over the place for them. So, I'm going to have to, I want to play this video of me meeting Ram Dass, but I'm going to have to mute it because I want to listen to it also. And then, so I'll watch some of it, I'll pause it, I'll do some commentary. So if you're not watching this on YouTube and you're listening on Spotify or iTunes or something like that, Just enjoy the moment of silence, or I think there is, but there will be some talking and stuff too. But if there's not, just enjoy the moment for Ram Dass. Okay. Oh man, I'm embarrassed already. I can see myself doing a commentary. Okay, so here.
My boy.
Oh, that's me and Shamsunar Das Baba. He's calling me his boy. That's my boy right there. That's Krishna Das. This is Krishna Das. He's talking about us coming in and meeting the Baba, the Shamsunar Das Baba, who's one of my spiritual teachers that Krishna Das took me to meet in India. And Krishna Das was with Ram Dass, with Maharaj Neem Karoli Baba in India. If you guys don't know who Krishna Das is, please go listen to Krishna Das's music. Oh man, absolute another teacher of mine. So, I bow to you, Krishna Das.
Sunset in Hawaii is unreal, and it really set the perfect space to.
All right, shut up, Dakota. Okay. Oh, this was a part that messed me up a little bit. Is Ram Dass saying he's getting close to dying? And this is the look that he gives Raghu right here, after looking down at his beads. Oh man, my heart. And that's Duncan Trussell there next to Raghu. Oh man, it gives me goosebumps. What a moment, man. And we're all getting close to death. Yeah, we're all getting close to dying, and I mean, like every breath we take is you know, like another breath closer to death, ultimately. Fuck. Okay, let's keep watching.
His body is a vehicle for this. Plane of consciousness. I am the soul in this body.
And this is my friend Bhagwan Das. I've hung out with him in India a few times. He'll actually be the one that's helping me with the retreat that I'm running in India in 2020 in October. He's cool, good guy. What did I want to show you? Oh yeah, there's a beautiful part where we all go out and swim with Ram Dass. And I want to play that part. Oh man, this is a weird part right here. Okay, check this out. So this is like me and the people that run the foundation, the Ram Dass Foundation, and we're watching a documentary that they were working on. And I think it's called Becoming Nobody, and I believe it's out now. And you may be able to buy it on Amazon or something, I'm not sure. But me, Bhagwan Das, Ram Dass, Lucian, and like a couple other people are watching this documentary with Ram. I'm like sitting behind Ram Dass, watching Ram Dass watch this documentary about his life. It was trippy. It was like this fractal implosion of the universe. It was cool though. Oh man, he had such a good sense of humor. Okay, this is such a beautiful part. I want to play this, and I'm just gonna be quiet and let it play. Okay, yeah, so here's the thing. So we were like, it was the last day that I was in Maui, or the last day that we were all together at this Ram Dass retreat. And we're all going out into the water. It's like 6 or 7 a.m. It's real early. The sun's just coming up, or just came up, and it was raining a little bit. But we said, whatever, everyone says whatever. So we go out into the ocean to go swimming, and all of a sudden a huge rainbow appears out of nowhere. The thing that's crazy is the second Ram Dass gets in the water is when the rainbow just kind of appears out of nowhere, and you'll see it right here. I'm just going to let it play. I'm not going to talk. And I'll probably just be on the other side of this video crying. I put some sad music to it, of course. I just feel so inspired to, like, make sure. It's not even so much that he had a message other than love. Love, everybody. He said his mantra was, I am loving awareness. I am loving awareness. I'm loving awareness. I'm loving awareness. But I really want to keep alive his, like, this sort of energy of the spiritual trickster in a kind of way. Like he has such a spirit of rebellion, but it's not even in like an aggressive way. It's a spirit of rebellion in the way, in a beautiful, graceful way. That is just like playful. And yeah, I don't know, he feels more alive to me now than ever. Baba Ram Dass, man, December 22nd, that's when he passed away. There's another video that where I asked him some questions, or a question on Skype. I'm curious, it's been a long time, it's like maybe 3 years ago. Let's watch it and see.
Hello, Hello. Namaste. Okay, so my question for you. My question for you is, as like a young person, when I look out to the world, I sort of see all these problems that we're confronted with as a collective. So what would your advice be for myself and for all of us to reconnect with love and to find a way that we can express that love inwardly so that we can usher in a culture that is aligned with those values? So what is your advice for us to reconnect with love in a time where we're confronted with all this suffering?
No, the suffering and the confronting is in your mind. That's the first thing. So,
I'll take that. Oh, I can't play too much of that because I'll get a copyright. Copyright. This video has a copyright on it. I don't know why I put music to it. I guess I was trying to heighten the drama of it. Oh, I hope we didn't get a copyright thing on here. It'll suppress the views. I've been going through a wave of emotions about this, about him passing. I mean, he's an old man, of course. You know, this is what happens in life. But this is like, it's like the end of an era, it feels like. It's like, Zach Leary, Timothy Leary's son, said something nice. Let me read what he said. I liked what he posted about Ram Dass. And that's one of my buddies. Shout out to you, Zach Leary. He's got a podcast. Hopefully we can be on each other's podcast one day. That'd be cool. Let me read you guys what Zach Leary said. I think I shared it on my Facebook. No, I didn't. Could you imagine these guys being your dad? One of these guys? Okay, so he said, there's so much unpacked when someone like Ram Dass checks out. First, that is all the... First, he's saying, first, there is no someone like Ram Dass. He's saying, there's so much to unpack when someone like Ram Dass checks out. First is that there is no someone like Ram Dass. Ram Dass was in his own league. The mold was created and broken from Ram Dass's life. You want to know a crazy story? I'll tell you after. Okay, I'll just keep reading this. Ram Dass was the last man standing to emerge from an era that's important to starting to go unrecognized. The 60s changed everything our species does in action and in thought. And there's no way a Ram Dass could happen today. Sometime around 1963, a perfect storm swirled around the collective consciousness to destroy what wasn't serving us. That epic storm gave us a chaos and rainbow of opportunities to those that were present enough to bask in the colorful glow. This comes along once every couple hundred years at best. It was a magnificent cultural hurricane that swept away segregation, forced Christianity, limited employment options, and art as something outside of us. What was left in the aftermath was a more integrated society, a more permissive way to find God, art as an expression of magic and dreams, and an almost mainstream encouragement to tell the establishment to fuck off by thinking for oneself. Richard Elpert was born within the establishments to a wealthy East Coast family that saw his post of a Harvard professor at under 35 as the ultimate in success. The crazy part in that what he did next was beyond my measure of success that one could imagine or find on any map that was available at the time. He met Neem Karoli Baba, who gave him a new map, morphing him into Ram Dass. He proceeded to tear down the walls of the spiritual establishment by ushering in a way for all of us to find love, laughter, grace, enlightenment within our own hearts, within the catch being that it was there all along. And that's just some of the stuff he wrote. Crazy life. There was one time that Ram Dass was in an airplane, I think with Timothy Leary, because Ram Dass was also a pilot, and they were driving to Mexico, flying to Mexico, and this is just a story. I don't know if this is real, but apparently they spilled acid on Ram Dass's shirt, so they were cutting Ram Dass's shirt into little pieces and to suck on it, and there was one point where the plane was flying upside down, and they were so high they didn't realize that the plane was upside down, and they obviously didn't get hurt, but that's a funny story. And another crazy story about Timothy Leary. This is Zach Leary. Timothy Leary was his dad. Timothy Leary, he went to jail. He got busted because he was the one that was really out there. Ram Dass went to the more shanti, spiritual, quiet route. Timothy Leary was like out there, like starting a revolution. He tried to run for governor John Lennon, he protested with John Lennon. John Lennon wrote the song Come Together. You guys know that song? Shoo, boom. Come together right now over me. John Lennon wrote that song for Timothy Leary. So Timothy Leary, again, was with Ram Dass as a Harvard psychologist. Goes to jail. I think they bust him for some weed. He gets put in the lowest level of security. You know why he gets put in the lowest level of security? Well, he gets put in the lowest level of security because the test that they give you to determine your threat status of determine what level of security that you need. He wrote the paper that determines that, the questionnaire. They give you a test. The answers that you put on this test determine the level of security that you're going to be placed in prison. He got the lowest level one because he wrote the questionnaire. He knew all the answers. It's pretty badass. But what's more badass is what he does next. He escapes. Timothy Leary escapes prison. I'm pretty sure he leaves America. And yeah, I don't know. There needs to be a movie about all this stuff. And you can watch a documentary called, what's it called? Dying to Know. I think there's a copy of it floating around on YouTube. If not, you can support the people that made it through like Amazon or something like that. Yeah. I feel heartbroken, but I feel very inspired by Ram Dass's life to really make something of my own and to really, like, just practice the things that he's practiced, you know, like being around Ram Dass. And I've spent a little bit of time around him, and like, it's just like, it's like, you know, like when you know you did something wrong, and that look someone gives you, it's not like you did something wrong to where they're like super mad at you, but it's when that you've been caught in a lie and you don't know that you've been caught in a lie yet, and that look that someone gives you, it's like they're just looking into your soul and they see right through all your bullshit, and you're just like spouting, you know, like just like spewing bullshit like venom, and they're just like looking at you and taking it all in and smiling unaffectedly. This is what Ram Dass does. He just looks at you with these like eyes that are just piercing you into your soul and into like the depths of like the hidden spots that you don't want people to see. But the way that he looks at you is so loving and comfortable, and sort of with the smirk saying like, I know, you bastard. And he, but it's like in a way that's like, you know, we're all fucked up. I've been there too. And I want to do that for other people. I want to like sort of take that fire that Ram Dass has lit into me and sort of light other people. And you know, like I think it was the Buddha that said, like, you can light one candle, or with one candle you can light a million candles. It only one candle is all that is required to set this world on fire here. You know, we can all come together through all our inspirations, whoever you're inspired by. You know, you can take what you are inspired by them and implement it into your life to make a positive impact into the people around you and stuff like that. And man, the people that have been brought into my life, the satsang that has been fallen into my lap through Ram Dass is incredible. Like, I've gotten to meet Krishna Dass. I've gotten to spend time with Duncan Trussell, who's like a, you know, got a new Netflix coming out with Adventure Time. If you like Adventure Time, there's a new Netflix coming out with Duncan Trussell. What's it called? Duncan Trussell cartoon. It's going to be a cartoon, and it will be called The Midnight Gospel, and that's going to be cool to watch. It already looks cool. I didn't watch the trailer for it yet, but the picture of it looks amazing, and Duncan is awesome. And yeah, it's like, man, Raghu Marcus, all these people, Bob Thurman, JR and Rachel and all the people that help run the stuff over there. It's like, it's just like, I have a big picture of Neem Karoli Baba on my wall right here. And it's just like, I feel like I've been blessed in some cosmic way to have been a part of this story somehow, you know? And again, like I said, we're all the echo of that. So Ram Dass, Baba Ram Das, please. And I hope you make it into your next incarnation beautifully. I hope it's like, I hope you're with Maharaji, or I hope you're just wherever you hoped you would be. And yeah, you've done a lot for me. Oh, I can't believe it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, so it's Christmas. Fuck, it's Christmas. You guys ever hear the stuff about Christmas being a shamanic holiday? You know, we're talking about pagan holidays, Christmas being a pagan holiday. But the whole idea is potentially that it's a shamanic religion. Let's check this out. Christmas shamanic origins. It's supposed to actually be about mushrooms. And I know some of you guys have probably heard about this, but let's just like check it out and see what people say about it. For those of you that haven't heard this yet. Could Santa actually be a shaman? Have you ever wondered where the tale of Santa Claus came from? When you think about it, the jolly old man dressed in red and white who travels in a sleigh pulled by flying reindeer to deliver gifts to children all over the world. Let's see. Another lesser-known story is this bizarre tradition of our white-bearded, present-bearing, fur-clad, chimney-descending friend. This story begins in a land far, far away, a land in the north covered in snow where reindeer freely roam. Alas, I'm not talking about the North Pole. I'm talking about, the story begins with a shaman who has descended down smoke holes and snow-covered homes, carrying a medicinal red and white mushroom to give to the cold families that inhabited them during the relentless winter solstice. Ooh, that's cool. That's cool. You know what else is weird about that? Is that Santa has these crazy little bouncing around little elves that create toys and are flashing and like circus-like and saying basically, look at this, look what I'm building. And they're doing all this kind of stuff that Terrence McKenna used to talk about. He used to talk about these self-dribbling, transforming DMT machine elves. DMT and psilocybin, as you know or may not know, are one oxygen molecule away from each other from being completely an identical compound. So DMT and psilocybin mushrooms are basically the same. I think it's psilocybin that's in these red and white mushrooms. But either way, my friends, there's a weird connection with mushrooms and elves. What is it with mushrooms and elves? I don't know. Let's keep reading about this shamanic Christmas, though. Shamans commonly use plants as medicine and to facilitate their connection with spirits, their work with powerful mind-altering psychedelic plants such as ayahuasca, peyote, wachuma, and more, Siberian shamans typically use the fungus Amanita muscaria. And that's the one that is like in Mario, the one that you eat and makes you bigger. And it kind of does that in real life too. If you eat these red, white spotted mushrooms called Amanita muscaria, it makes your depth of perception all weird. So it makes your arms look real long, or you get like real big, like kind of like in Alice in Wonderland. So it makes me wonder what the people of Mario were up to. They're getting freaky. Oh, yeah, and they say that these reindeer actually eat the mushrooms also. And the myth of the reindeer flying comes from reindeer eating mushrooms and kind of being high and dancing around. But there's a lot of cool pictures. Like, let me check Google. Christmas mushroom. I'll type that in. Because if you look, there's like these Christmas ornaments with Santa Claus hanging out next to mushrooms. And something else that's weird is that we put pine trees into our homes, right? We put these big pine trees into our homes. And these mushrooms only grow next to pine trees. That's crazy. And Santa Claus is dressed red and white. We usually dress our presents red and white. We stick them under trees. These mushrooms are red and white, and we stick them under trees. But you always have these little elves or these little people around hanging out around these mushrooms, and it's usually in like winter time. And you find these old Christmas, like a Merry Christmas and a New Year, like this card right here. And she's wrapping a mushroom and leaving it on your door. It's like a little angel elf thing. And see these elves here. It really makes me think, actually. It is weird. There is something weird about mushrooms that, like, I think, like, our ancestors were really hip to mushrooms, and, like, somehow with, like, the war on drugs and just, like, kind of America becoming a new culture, and I don't know what happened, but we lost connection with mushrooms. And it seems to have been a big part of our ancestors' culture. I mean, come on, this is clear as day. You guys ever see the mushroom art that's found in it's found all over Europe in cathedrals and churches? Jesus mushroom art. Check this out. This is some weird stuff. Like, you have this one here. This is looks like Jesus kind of growing out of the ground. Could or not be a mushroom, but this one is undeniable right here. Check this out. Look at that. That's undeniably a mushroom. Undeniably mushroom. Check this one out. I love this one because look how crazy. This is clearly mushrooms. And then you have people like Gianmarco Allegro who have this whole idea. Gianmarco Allegro, for those of you that don't know, was a Dead Sea Scroll scholar. A Dead Sea Scroll is the most important Christian text that we found, you know. Martin Lawrence, the comedian. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know why Martin Lawrence is popping through my head. But Gianmarco Allegro was one of the only, or the only, non-religious person that was allowed to help decipher what these scrolls were saying, because he was a language scholar. He understood these ancient languages from this area. And when he was reading it and decoding it and doing his, you know, what he does, he was like, this is a mushroom ritual. This is an encoded story of a mushroom cult. And the origins of Christianity, to him, is a mushroom cult. Here we have a picture of Adam and Eve with the serpent going up the forbidden tree. And it's got the red and white dotted behind them, which could symbolize Amanita muscaria. Here we have another mushroom, some more here. Here Jesus has got his arms up looking like a mushroom. There's so much stuff. Here we got Adam and Eve. Look at this. This is clearly a mushroom. That's like, come on. And that's inside a church, I believe. So, I don't know. It's really interesting. It's really bizarre. Maybe Christmas does have a psychedelic origin. I think so much of who we are can be traced to psychedelics, which is kind of like a silly thing to say, you know, that mushrooms are such an integral part of civilization. I mean, especially a culture like ours would never want to admit that drugs are the reason why we are. Yeah, that's cool. Here's the Pope. You got the Pope right here, that looking like a mushroom. Yeah, these are crazy. These are really interesting. You should look it up. And if you live in Europe, go to the churches around your area, especially if you live in a small area, and look around. You might find some cool mushroom art. And if you do, then send it over. I'd love to see. I'll post about it on the podcast if you find any. Santa and the goddamn psychedelic elves. Santa, that bastard. Oh, yeah, shit, I forgot. I broke my weed sobriety. You know, I made a video talking about how I was sober from weed while I was traveling. I was traveling for like 5 months. I didn't smoke for nearly 3 months. And I was talking about the benefits of not smoking and how nice it was to have my dreams come back in full effect and all this kind of stuff. And yeah, I've been smoking a little bit since I've been home. A lot of you guys are like saying, oh, I'm proud that you're like completely sober now and stuff like that. But I've been smoking a little bit, so I apologize to you guys that I've let down. But yeah. You know, I decided I'm gonna take part in No Nut November next year. I'm up for the challenge. I know that has nothing to do with weed, but you know, I'm ready to become a man. I'm ready for this rite of passage into manhood of not coming for an entire month. No, not November. Oh yeah, today is actually Joe Rogan's 10-year anniversary. I thought that was kind of cool. 10-year anniversary of Joe Rogan podcast. I don't know. I think we're on. Oh yeah. So last episode, some of you guys, if you watch these podcasts on Spotify or iTunes, then you have an extra podcast because I made a podcast, but the video didn't work. So it's actually unlisted on YouTube. So this is actually podcast 17 on YouTube, but 18 on Spotify and iTunes. And if you're interested to hear about what I was talking about in the last podcast, I was talking about returning these human ash back to the Ganga in India that was given to me by this crazy Agori Sadhu. This black magic guy gave me some human ash. I didn't want to keep it anymore, so I returned the ash. That's basically the story. I tell a story about that. I filmed a video about it, but I don't know how to talk about it. Like, I don't know how to edit a video about that. And, like, do I want to put that online? And, like, I mean, this is a person's life, you know? I want to be respectful. But it is a really interesting story, and I think interesting stories are interesting, and they... And we connect with them in interesting ways, and it's true, you know? Should I hide truth because it's uncomfortable? There's a lot to think about. A lot of you guys talk shit about me for looking off into the distances. I'm talking to myself in a room, okay? Do you want me to stare at a camera? I just got insecure that I was staring off into the distance, because I always get comments of, like, what are you looking at? Is your boyfriend over there or something? I don't have a boyfriend. I'm a heterosexual male. I'm just... That's the kind of shit you guys say to me. Was there a porno on over there? That's the voice I hear when you guys leave me comments like that. I would love to have that kind of accent. What's going on? Hey, Arnie. I can hardly see your face hanging out from on top of the fence. Why don't you stand on something? Or come around here, you dingus. What, are you stupid or something? God damn it, Arnie, you goddamn freaky bastard. Put some goddamn pants on, Arnie, you bitch. Oh, god damn it, Arnie, the kid's in here. You got Rebecca in the other room, you're in there smoking like a goddamn chimney with your pants off, Arnie. That's what I hear when you guys leave me those goddamn comments, so. So, yeah, I mean, if that's what you want to sound like, then, you know, good for you. Good for you, my friends. So, I don't know. How long have we been doing this podcast? What time are we on? Yeah, I don't know. It's Christmas. I hope you guys have an amazing Christmas. Happy holiday, happy new year. I'm getting ready to go to Peru with my boy Tom, our mate Tom. You guys been watching my India vlogs. You know that me and your mate Tom were in India together for about a month. And now we're going to Peru together for about another month. And I think he's going to Chile after to film with all the crazy stuff that's going on there. I'm going to hang out in Cusco. We're going to drink ayahuasca. Pretty nervous about it. I'm what my nerves are, what I'm nervous about mostly, and I'll make a video talking about this, but I'm just nervous about, like, I know what these plants are capable of, and, like, it's not just something you take because you just want to take it, you know, it's not like, I'm gonna go drink ayahuasca and get fucked up and, like, you know, it's not like that. It's like, you gotta respect these things or they'll really slap you emotionally, like, astrally, cosmically, slap your ass. And sometimes I like that, but in this circumstance, this is a painful ass slapping. It's not like an erotic one. So I want to make sure I have some kind of intention, and I feel like I don't know where my intention. What's my intention for going? I mean, I got invited to this retreat, and they're accommodating me and to film about my experience at the retreat. But am I going just because I was invited, or am I going because I just want to see the mystery? But do I really want to see the mystery? Because if you take something like DMT, or if you take a bunch of mushrooms, and you ask the mushrooms to show me what you got, Show me what you got. Show me, you little fucking thing that grows out of the ground. Show me what you got. Show me who you are. Oh, man, if you invoke the mushroom in that way, you'll tell it to stop. It's like there's a story in the Bhagavad Gita where Arjuna asks Krishna. He says, Krishna, show me who you are. Show me your true cosmic form. And Krishna all of a sudden turns into this huge kind of monster thing where he has huge pointy teeth. And Arjuna looks into Krishna's mouth and the whole universe is in Krishna's mouth. And everyone that Arjuna loves is being chewed away by Krishna's teeth. Krishna's God and God is just eating everybody. Everybody is just being digested in the digestive tract of some kind of super organism, and that's what time is. Time. I think Krishna even says that in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, "I am time, the destroyer of worlds, and I have come here to engage with all people." Do you want to see that? Do I want to really see the mystery? Because the mystery will show me how fucking strange this experience is and how scary it can be. So do I want to look out into the depths of the unknown and realize that it's looking back at me? I don't know. That's a crazy thing to ask for. And so I know that also. So that's why I'm a little nervous about taking ayahuasca. I'm going to take it respectfully, humbly, and say I'm here to simply meet you and to just have darshan, be in your grace. In India, they have this concept of just being in the presence of beauty, of something divine, and they call it darshan. So I'm just going to have darshan of Mother Ayahuasca, just be in the presence of this profound thing and just bow to it. Anytime anything happens, I'm just going to bow to it. Because I know some crazy shit's going to come up, I'm going to be puking and stuff like that. I'm just going to bow to it. Let it happen. If I die, I die. If I do die, just, you know, keep, make me seem cool, please. Make me seem cool to the internet. So I don't know. I'm out of here, guys. I'm going to go. This is Christmas, so I'm going to go and enjoy myself and enjoy the winter solstice and enjoy Jesus and loving my family and loving all of you guys. I'm so thankful for all of you guys. So happy holidays for those of you that don't celebrate Christmas, or if you're just not celebrating anything and you're just hanging out. Maybe you're an atheist. I don't know. I don't know what you're doing in your bedroom by yourself at night. And I don't really want to know, but I just want you to know that I respect it as long as you're not hurting anyone else, or as long as everything is consensual. So God bless you all. I hope you all have a beautiful day wherever you're all at. And yeah, rest in peace, Baba Ram Dass. You are such a light to me and such a light to so many of us out there. So thank you guys for watching. Leave a comment for Ram Dass. Leave a comment saying, I am loving awareness. And today, and any day that we're feeling a little bit maybe under the weather, or feeling normal, or we're feeling happy or joyed or sad or angry or anything, we can go back to this mantra that Ram Dass has given us. I am loving awareness. I am loving awareness. I'm loving awareness. I'm loving awareness. I'm loving awareness. Even when we don't feel it, I'm loving awareness. Even when we don't want to say it, I am loving awareness. I'm loving awareness. We'll just keep saying it. We'll just keep saying it until we feel that it's true. I'm loving awareness. It's hard. So yeah, leave a comment for Ram Dass. I am loving awareness. And I'll see you guys in the next podcast. Sorry that I skipped a week. And Ani, goddamn it, Ani, put your goddamn pants on. I gotta go make Ani put his pants on, because it's Christmas here. He's got his dick swinging all around like a baseball bat. Well, like, it's not really like a baseball bat. It's kind of like, it's like if a mouse was playing baseball, had a little miniature baseball bat. Ani's got a little miniature mouse baseball bat dick. Goddamn it, Ani. Okay. Oh, Jesus. I can't say Jesus' name after saying that and talking about Christmas. Ani. Subscribe. A Place for Humans podcast. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Slimy Oddity for this t-shirt. Stay happy, stay weird. Subscribe.